Hi, you've tuned in to the Lovely Travels podcast, where we talk about all things travel and adventure. My name is Emma Lovell, also known as Lovely, and I have a mission to visit every UN-recognised country in the world while raising awareness for mental health. Join me as we revisit some of my past adventures, speak to fellow travellers and interesting locals, all while following the journey to 195 countries. I'll be joined soon by my co-pilot, Darius, in Germany. And sometimes we're even going to hit the road together. Make sure to join in the adventure by following me on Instagram, Lovely Travels. You can also join our Facebook group, Lovely Travels Community, and learn more about us at the website, lovelytravels.com. But for now, it's listening time. Travel vicariously along with us.
I see COVID, I see France, I see Emma's underpants.
So that's how we're kicking off the episode today.
Awesome. I love it.
Okay. Well, we've started recording. Anywho, so today we are talking not about my underpants, but we are talking about France, and we're talking about COVID in France specifically.
Yeah. Hello everyone and welcome to the Lovely Travels podcast. This week we are talking about the, I'm not talking about it. Emma is talking to Geraldine, who you remember from last week's episode. We realized during editing and talking about the episodes that there is of course a sort of early COVID chat with Geraldine.
Yeah. Well, what happened was, when we were in lockdown and isolation, it was just, I am very fortunate to have, as we've heard from the past 50 or so episodes, that I have many wonderful friends around the world. And I was just interested to hear, like, the way that different countries have approached COVID and experienced it are completely different. So I was just interested and I kept hearing what was happening, and it wasn't even like really actively people were reaching out to me and saying, hey, how are you going? What's happening in Australia? And so then I was like, well, what's happening in Germany or France or Singapore or America or England or Vietnam or, you know, India, many countries. And so I ended up deciding to have chats with people if they were willing to. And at the time, funnily, I was like, it'd be really cool to do this in a month. And maybe if things are still going on in 6 months and, you know, ha-ha, if it were happening in a year, we could talk then. It is, as we record this, it is April 2021 and I recorded these episodes in April 2020 and we are very much still, as everybody knows, in the time of COVID or whatever we're going to call it in the future. And
Age of Aquarius.
Yeah, the age of coronavirus. Not catchy. Living COVID loca, I think someone called it. It was excellent.
Yeah.
at the time. It was all lols for a couple of weeks and then it got a bit tired. And so I actually didn't end up doing the 1 month, 6 month, because the time went fast too. And then kind of when it came to, it had been 4 months by the time I realized it had been 1 month. It was meant to be a month and it ended up being 4 months. And then I just felt a bit icky about it. I didn't, it didn't seem novelty or fun anymore. And I wasn't sure where the people were at that I could have reached out to them, but I actually got really busy as well. My work being that I work from my computer and was working from home, I was working a lot too. So just kind of was head down, bum up. We started the podcast, so we were doing other things and, yeah, the conversations kind of, they were there and I wanted to do something with them. I wanted to do a summary episode, which we talked about on episode 14. You and I did a quick, we better address the elephant in the room. So
yeah.
It'd be fun, actually. We should, Darius and I did a conversation in April 2020 and then we did episode 14, would have been around the June or something, so it'll be really fun when we do ours.
Sure. Yeah, we released it in July.
Mm-hmm. So we've Darius and I have talked in April 2020, July 2020. We did a in episode 50. We kind of did a where are we at? What's happening in the world? So that was recorded in March 2021, and now here we are in April, and our next conversation will be soon-ish. So yeah. Anyway, it's just kind of like this is like a here and now, and sorry, a before and after, or a then and now.
Then and now. It's a then and now. Yeah, we're going to take a trip back in time to April 2020 and hear what the situation was like in France then.
Yeah. And look, and I talked about Australia quite a bit too, and I'm not going to lie, I sound pretty obnoxious and arrogant, as Australians travelling sometimes do. But we also have a very interesting perspective because Geraldine and I lived in Mexico together in 2009. We used to say
it. Right.
That's how we used to say it, not 2009, 2009. we talked about, yeah, we were there when swine flu happened and we were just discussed and, you know, that was 11 years ago at the time. We had different memories of what that was like. And for me, in some ways, it was similar. At the start, but COVID was just global quicker and we felt the impact of swine flu because we were in it, but the rest of the world wasn't as bothered. And we have now seen that swine flu definitely wasn't as deadly or just didn't get to the level, obviously, because the word we keep using and we used in the podcast, the taboo word is unprecedented in this lifetime. This is unprecedented.
I think swine flu also had a much cuter name, so maybe it didn't take off as much.
You think it had a cuter name?
Yeah. Yeah, think about a pig with the sniffles. It's not as dangerous as COVID-19.
I don't know. I think swine's quite a, like, insulting. Like, if you called someone a swine, it would be like, oh, how dare you? It's quite an, it's like a, sound like a Victorian insult. You swine.
I can deal with it. No, I'm fine with the swine.
See, whereas me, because it's very triggering because I was in it. So, anyway, we discussed that. So, we've got two or three perspectives. We're talking about what's happening in France. What happened when we lived in Mexico together and went through the whole mask and lockdown-y type thing, and what was happening at the time, and it's pretty interesting hearing it back and us talking about we're in lockdown for 2 weeks or a month, you know, whereas as we heard on episode 52, I'm not going to give it away, but please listen to the France episode. You know, France is about to enter their third lockdown sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it's funny. Yeah, it is interesting.
It wasn't 52. It was 53.
Okay. So episode 53, where we talked about, what was happening. And I wanted a quick summary, and that's kind of where this we decided to pick this up again.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to hear how the opinions have changed. If they have changed.
Well, it just isn't like, I think from the Australian standpoint, I'll give a very quick summary because you'll hear on the episode what's happening. She asked me what was going on. So I'll give you a quick summary of what's happening now. The date is the 8th of April 2021, sorry to ruin the magic, that's when we're recording. And what's happening now is Australia is basically pretty open to travel within the country. There are people going interstate quite freely. We did just have a lockdown in Brisbane. I'm not in Brisbane. I live in the Gold Coast. It didn't reach here. However, we are still at this time we're required to wear masks up until the 15th of April. If you are outside, basically, unless you're doing exercise outside, you should be wearing a mask.
Right.
That's, I don't know how seriously everyone's taking that or enforcing it. I'm certainly abiding.
I don't know how relevant it is to wear a mask if you're outside. As long as you're not super close to people.
No, but even in cafes and stuff, people like wherever you are, if you're not, as long as you're not doing exercise, you should be wearing a mask. That is not being abided completely. It's right. optional, even though it should be being enforced, it's not. But otherwise, things are pretty free. Like I drove to New South Wales the other week, the next state from Queensland, it wasn't really a problem. People are having weddings and they're having 100 people or whatever and it's been fine. They had recently an event in Sydney with 30,000 people and it was fine. And as of this week, they have announced that in, I think, the end of this month, the 23rd of April, the plan is to begin the Trans-Tasman bubble, which will be Australia and New Zealand are allowed to travel to one another. So that's overseas. Without any hotel quarantine, which to other countries is like, cool, whatever. But Australia has been very strict with quarantine. And if you have, even in when the lockdowns happen and you've been interstate, you're meant to do hotel quarantine for 2 weeks at your own expense. Wow. So to be able to go to New Zealand and come back and not have to quarantine is a pretty big deal. So that's the plan. That's what's happening. Life feels pretty, in inverted commas, normal at the moment for us.
I'm jealous.
Yeah. We're able to go about our lives pretty. And so it is strange when like the mask thing happens for us and we're very not used to it because Queensland really had this is probably the longest time and that masks have been a thing here. So we've had it. It's really been different in Australia. We've had on one hand very free living and normal, if you will, but we've also had really stressful situations over what the rest of the world would feel is very little. You know, there'll be like 7 cases or 1 case and they'll call a lockdown. Whereas in other countries, they're like, okay, we've got 30,000. We really better do something, you know.
I think Germany had 20,000 new cases yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. And we locked
But down. We're not locking anything down. No, well, we're just nothing's open. I wouldn't call it a lockdown. It's a closed up. Don't get me started on what I – yeah, this is France, not Darius's opinion.
If you want to hear a rant on what's happening in Germany, please tune in to episode 50 because you will
– 50, yeah, I vented a little bit there.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's kind of what's happening here. It is interesting. I would say at this point in time I feel like Australia has handled it well. I feel grateful for the freedoms that we've had, but we also had our time of very strict and very stressful, and we still have our times of they could just close or lock things or decide it's going to get serious again. So, but I'm grateful that we've had minimal cases and minimal deaths. I feel good about that. So
minimal death is always good, Em.
Yeah, yeah. It's very surreal. It's still surreal. It's surreal to see that we're in this time and to feel that we feel normal about it in a way. And I hate the term, but we all use it, the new normal.
Don't get me started. Don't get me started.
So anyway, let's jump in and hear what Geraldine and I had to say in April 2020. It will be pretty funny to look back on this time in a year or two. And I'm quite enjoying that our podcast is turning into a bit of a time capsule. And, you know, even listening to other episodes, I kind of had a giggle on – I was listening to an episode the other day of a podcast and they said, you know, we've done this recording during COVID and thank you for staying with us and, you know, we've managed to make it work and, you know, if we come – we're going to have a break because this has been exhausting. We might be back for season 3 and hopefully we'll be out of this. And I just – I was like, you won't be. Like – season 3. No, they were back, but they were back in the same situation of recording from home. because they were in the UK and it was very much the same situation. So it's pretty interesting listening to podcasts and hearing them record through this time, because they're just sort of subsequently making commentary on what's happening in the world. It will be really interesting to listen back, as it is with anything that's like big at the time, and hear back your thoughts on it. So I'm grateful for this podcast for that interesting time capsule element.
This is our gift of a time capsule to the world. You're welcome, world. Now, let's get into it. Geraldine, France, 2020. Let's go.
Bonjour.
Hello.
How are you?
Great, and yourself?
I'm good. It's been a long time.
Yeah, definitely. Let me just show me up my video, right? Oops, putting out a good type. Yeah, long time to see. Nice. Why are you always traveling? Never coming to Paris.
Yeah, I haven't been to Paris since 2007, so it's due.
Which was before we met, so yeah.
Yeah, I haven't even been to France again since then, so I would love to come back. I mean, maybe another time when there's not a virus. Yeah.
There's not a lockdown, but yeah, definitely. You should come. I mean, and you've met so many people from France that I'm sure that we could have some like get around with everybody and meeting everybody you had in Mexico or any other of your travels. That would be great.
Do you stay in touch with any of the people from Mexico?
I've not much. Well, I do have them like you on Facebook, so I'm like following their lives. Not much. Well, I haven't met a lot of French. Well, I wasn't really close with a lot of French people because I didn't want to stay with the French people. So most of the people I met were either Mexican or other nationalities. So I haven't really had the chance to see them. But I mean, I'm following their lives. They're following mine through social networks, which is not that bad. But yeah.
I can't.
How about you?
Kids and your... Married and
yeah, well, you're married too. It happens.
Yeah. only 1 month though. So,
yeah.
So it's nice. Cool. And in Mexico, I got married in Mexico.
Yeah, I saw that. That was so great. And but it was a very small wedding, like just you and a few friends, right?
Yeah, four people. So we eloped, really. Like I call it elope, but yeah, we told the parents, we told people that we were gonna do it, but not where or when. Or like how it was going to be. So that was a surprise. So yeah.
And your parents, were they not a bit disappointed not to be here?
Yeah, next question. But you know,
you gonna get-
it doesn't matter what you do, right? It wouldn't matter how you have the wedding.
No.
Everybody has their...
No. And I read that you were going to have a party, I think this August or this summer, so something like that. So I'm sure that people will still be here and be able to celebrate with you and all of that. So that's important.
Yeah, well, we have like 130 people maybe. But, I mean, at this point, I said, like, we want to keep the date and it's very easy for us. It's nearby and everything. So, but, you know, we don't know the situation, and I guess that's what we need to talk about today is, like, we don't know. And I think originally we had thought maybe it was like, I don't know, a month. Now it's like, I just spoke to a doctor he lives in Western Australia, and he's like, yeah, 6 months, 3 to 6 months. And for international travel, I think 12 months.
You mean that we wouldn't be able to go abroad for 12 months?
That's what he said. Yeah. So he says 3 to 6 months for us, like, of this lockdown, because people don't take it seriously. I don't know how it is in France, but people right now still think they can do little things, just that they're the exception to the rule.
Yeah. Well, we've been in lockdown since last week, and at first people were like, yeah, you can still go around for a run or take your kids out or your dogs out. But then people would take their kids out for like half a day, meeting other people. So then they're restricted. And now it's you're allowed only 1 hour a day out, within 1 kilometer of your house. But even with that, people tend to group together to say, well, yeah, I'm going outside from, let's say, 10 to 11. Can you come at the same time and all of that? So we do have a bit of the same problem here. People are not really taking that very seriously, because I suppose that's going to be the same in Australia, but there's a lot of discussion going on whether that's a good way to do it, or whether we should maybe not lock down and just let the virus go around and play, how to say it, its own immunity. So, but at what cost? What's going to be the cost in terms of diseased people? So that's really the discussion. And when the people think that it's not fair to do that because it's not going to work, then they go outside. And as long as you have people outside, it's for sure not going to work. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's been only one day in Australia, right?
It hasn't started. It's midnight tonight. The borders are closed. So I was in New South Wales. I drove over to Queensland. I live in Queensland. So I drove over the border and the police cars were there. Tonight, they will have police cars blocking the road. There are 18 different points that you can enter. Only 3 will be open and are fully closed. And when you come to those borders, you have to say a very good reason. You have to be going for medical. You have to be having an absolute essential job. And they're still working out the permits for that. And the plan was to put something on the car to say, you know, yes, I work or I'm allowed to travel. So it'd be if you are a patient and you have to go basically, or you have a job that you have to travel for. Otherwise, I mean, that's it.
You wouldn't be doing that, yeah.
You get through, they'll turn you around. And if you can't really give the good reason, they'll just say, not today.
Yeah, that's what I wrote. In France, we have to go out with a paper where you have six different reasons. You have to pick one and you have to state what time you're leaving. For example, if you say, I have to go shopping for food or for medical whatever, then you say, I'm leaving home at like 10:09 and you have to be back within 1 hour, except, of course, if you're spending the day in the hospital or whatever, but you're not allowed to be out for more than an hour. So they're trying to tighten that. But we are not at the stage yet where they will put a curfew. They talked about putting a curfew at 6 p.m., which they haven't done so far. But if people continue to not follow the rules, I'm sure they will enforce it at one point.
Yeah. And they here, I heard today in New South Wales, so that's the state below me, if you are caught out and you're seen in a social group like that, they can give you $1,000 fine. The police can give you $1,000 fine.
Okay. So it used to be, for us, it's 135 euros. If you do the same thing within 15 days, it's 1,500. And if you're once again doing that, then it's 3,000 euros plus 4 months in jail, which I'm sure they will not enforce it, but they try to do that so that it would prevent the people to say, well, I'm not willing to pay that amount of money. Because in all honesty, it seems that the problems are more in the very popular regions or popular cities where people, they don't really care. And so that's where the money for them is really much more important. So that's why they're seeing that by enforcing high fines, then the people will tend to stay home.
Yeah.
But it's mostly because in the very popular areas, the apartments are smaller. They don't have gardens. They don't have balconies or whatever. So that's why it's really a bit, I suppose, harder for them to be in lockdown. While we do have a garden, so we can have the kids running around, and it's really is the lockdown, to be honest.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, everybody's got the different scenario. We are fortunate in Australia to have more space. I mean, yes, if there is like Montmartre or something like that, the apartments are like They really are. They're like a corridor. So that, I mean, that is hard. But the thing, the problem here is people are like, oh, yeah, I'm in isolation. I'm in isolation with 10 of my mates. And you're like,
yeah, well, yeah, no.
You don't know the definition of the word isolation. Like, and I know for some people they live on their own. I mean, my friend, she's a nurse. She got sick. They didn't know if it was corona or not, so she had to go home. She's recently moved into an apartment by herself. So she was on isolation. Fortunately, she lives in the same city as her parents and they were dropping her the food. You know, so that is feeling very isolated. I'm fortunate I live with Matt, you know. I've decided for the next 2 weeks I'm on isolation. The only thing I'll be doing is going to my pool. We have an apartment complex, kind of like the same shape as Mexico.
Yeah.
I'll go to the pool as long as there's no one there. And
yeah, you have to make sure that you'll be the only one, yeah.
I think so. You know, often I'm the only one there. Then I'll go to the water. We have the water nearby, so I'll go for walks. But if it's like that thing where it seems like everybody's going out at 6 o'clock and there are too many people around, then I'll start saying, you know, I have workouts, DVDs, I have workout apps.
Yeah.
As long as I can, you know, I think there's just there, you have to go to the shops. You might have to go get medical stuff, but other things, I don't know what people.
They're not important. Yeah. Well, they just want to have, like, enjoy fresh air and meet. I think that most people think it's really hard not to meet with friends or family and all of that. So we have, like, every day at 8 p.m. we have, like, Zoom meetings with either family or friends. So it's not the same as really seeing them and having a drink with them, but at least it's a bit of socialization. I don't know if that's an English word, but
yeah.
You'd be able to meet with the people and discuss what you're going through. But like you said, it's easier for us because we're not alone. One of my sisters, she lives by herself, and it's hard for her, but, like, well, she tries to do things. She I don't know, like she watches TV shows, she works, she sleeps, she reads, she, like, yeah, she tries, it's not a word I'm using a lot at work, but you have to find things to do. But I understand, well, if the people are in isolation, 10 people together, let's say, well, they have to make sure that they stay, all of them, within the place. If they decided to be the 10 of themselves, then they have to stay. And I think it's not going to be easy to stay for 6 weeks or whatever it's going to be the time together. For us, it was announced last Monday to last for 2 weeks, so until next Tuesday. We haven't heard yet anything else about changing the plans. Well, everybody knows that it's not going to be 2 weeks because we see what's going on in Italy, and we are exactly 11 days behind Italy in terms of number of people infected, number of people deceased. When we decided to put the lockdown in place, it's really 11 days afterwards. So we know that it's going to be at least a month extra, but we haven't had any official news so far. So it's a bit of a, you know, you don't really know what's going on. We had holidays planned. We had my sister-in-law is getting married in a month's time. We were supposed to have the baptism of our younger boy who's only 6 months. So we thought about having that 2 weeks' time. We cancelled it. We had all the families, and so, but you don't know. You don't know because you're like, well, is it going to stop or not? And it's really a very big unknown because we hear very terrible things, but we also seeing that maybe the UK has had the good way of doing that, which I don't personally think that's a good way to do that. But, like, having the people roaming the streets and being sick all together, why not? But yeah, in France, it's really complex. We basically have two type of people, which is going to be the same in all the countries. People are very trustworthy of the lockdown is useful and let's do that. And the other people are saying, well, it's not useful, so let's not do that. And as long as we don't have either everybody in lockdown or either everybody out, it's not going to work anyway.
Yeah. I'm personally a fan of the lockdown. I mean, the thing is, we lived through this. You know, we were in Mexico.
Yeah, well,
And they're literally overnight. You know, we were in the party. I was in the big, in a nightclub having a party, and then we wake up in the morning and they said, no university, no malls, no parties, no bars. Like, you know, this, you have to stay home, you have to wear a mask. I mean, we then stupidly, there was a party in the block with masks, which was, but I mean, I think I left 3 days later or 2 days later after that. I was like, I'm not staying. This is weird.
That's what I meant. It's, I don't remember that being enforced like that, because I saw pictures on Facebook where I went visiting, I don't remember which part of the country, with a Spanish group like Pedro, Laura and all of them. And we were wearing masks in the airport. So I know that it wasn't really lockdown because we were able to travel. And I don't know why, I don't remember it being so harsh. I know my parents were really freaking out and they were telling me, come back, come back. And I was supposed to be traveling with a friend of mine for 8 weeks in Central America afterwards. And I was waiting for him to arrive. And then he told me, well, Air France cancelled my flight, so I'm bound to stay home. And I was like, yeah, well, I don't feel like traveling by myself for 8 weeks. So after a while, I decided to go home. But I really wasn't feeling the stress that we are feeling now, let's say. But maybe it was smaller because it was only in Mexico, or I don't know. I don't remember, to be honest.
It was Mexico City, and then there were soon cases in Monterrey. That's, in our state.
Okay.
Why? And then the thing that they were saying was they were going to close the borders of the states. Okay. Close the border to the states and close the borders of the states. And that to me was like, that's why I got really upset on the weekend. Like on Saturday, they made the announcement, Australia has closed its borders. And then they said on Sunday, the states are closing their borders. And that for me was like, just took me straight back to Mexico. And it was like, and for me, the thing was with Mexico, it was like, well, it felt strange. It felt really weird. And I was like, this isn't, if we can't go to school, if we can't have parties, or we're not really supposed to be, like, cause they straight away were like, don't touch each other, don't hug each other. I was like, that's what we do. That's what we were all like, we were,
what's the point of
why am I here if, you know, and people did end up leaving and going to Guatemala or other parts of Mexico and traveling and stuff because we couldn't go to school. But I said, this doesn't feel like my home anymore. And I had the option, one of my friends was going to drive to the United States. I said, I'm out. And I considered going home, but then my brother and my cousin were in the States. And so I ended up traveling in America for a month. I mean, they shut down schools in New York for that. They had a couple deaths in Texas for that, but it didn't spread the same way. And even months later, there were people with swine flu, but it definitely wasn't as serious. It was like the common flu, but a little less. So this is worse. I do wonder if social media has impacted this. I also do wonder if there are more flights now. There are, there's a lot more traveling now than there was.
So I think it's a mix of both, because I don't know about you in Australia, but friends, if you put on the TV, this is the only subject that people will talk about, like nothing else, just coronavirus, coronavirus, coronavirus. It's like really very anxiety. The anxiety rises because we hear about that all day long. Travels, of course, also helps. But I'm really sure that if the people, because was it the SARS? It was in 2013 or something like that. SARS in the SARS, yeah. It wasn't that known. I mean, we weren't just talking about that. And I think that the number of deceased was pretty much the same, or I haven't read the numbers now, so I don't know what the numbers are, because we don't put the TV on because we don't want to hear about that, to be honest. No. But we haven't heard about that much. And it feels like the people were not suffering from it that much. So I think it's a bit increased by the media, like you said, by the way, that's the only thing the people are talking about.
Yeah. And yes, it's a combination of things. Certainly there is a more seriousness to the illness, I think, but
probably, yeah.
I mean, our families knew what was happening with swine flu, and you know, my my family works in that in freight and airline industry, so they knew. But I mean, they didn't end up shutting the border to America. They did have cases in America, and like I said, they took it seriously. But I flew to Chicago, I flew to Miami, I went to Indianapolis, I went to the Indy 500, which is like the biggest spectator sport in the world, and that was after leaving swine flu, you know?
Yeah. So,
and I'd crossed the border and nobody, like, I was so scared they wouldn't let me in, and they did.
And you weren't tested?
No. And, yeah. then there was a death in, like, the place where I was, you know? And so I half joked, but I was like, maybe I was the carrier. Like, but, you know, it's like... they didn't. I think that the measures they took in Mexico were good. They did do a lot of shutdown in Mexico City where it happened first, and then they shut it down. But there were cases around the world for a long time. People probably still get swine flu now. It isn't as severe. Thick. But
yeah,
the spread of this and the It's unlike, you know, they overuse this word. I don't know how you say it in France, but they say keep saying unprecedented.
Yeah.
Never happened like this before.
It's the first time, yeah.
So, yeah. And that's why people are so confused. I thought it was a little bit hysteria because of, I was in Mexico and we hear about people buying all the toilet paper. I was like, how ridiculous, how embarrassing. And, you know, being there again, I was like, you know, like shut it down, you know, sure. Of course, don't travel to those places and blah, blah, blah. But then, I mean, within days, that was on the 7th of March, I got home. Even in those next few days, it just felt like more and more and more. And it just felt weirder and weirder. And like, this isn't a joke. This is serious. I knew my trips would be canceled. I knew before I had a trip to Nepal next month. I knew it was going to be canceled. I had a trip to Melbourne. I was meant to be going to a wedding on Friday. I chose to pull out of that. I said, I don't feel comfortable getting on a plane. So I do support the lockdown, and I don't understand why it's for people to stay in the house for a short time. It would have been for a short time, but it won't be now.
The longer the people are not respecting that, the longer it's going to be. And this is really what the people are not understanding. But anyway, well, the thing is that, to be honest, it's not easy. You have a job that you could probably do working from home. We do, my husband and I also have jobs that we could do from home. But juggling with that and three young kiddos, plus the oldest one, she's 4, and we have to do some cool stuff with her. It's really, really a time of juggling things, and it's not easy, I have to say. So I have the chance, let's say, that since yesterday I was informed that I was going to be on a partial unemployment, meaning that I'm not supposed to work, but I'm not being paid full wage. Yeah. So it's really a loss of money. So my job is still secured, so it's not unemployment. It's just that I'm being paid less to not work. Let's just say it like that. So it's in a way a good opportunity for me to take care of the kids so that my husband could work. But on the other hand, it also means that I'm not earning that much money. And we have a nanny, Nolly, that of course she's not here, that we were supposed to pay full wage as well, which we're not going to be able to do. So it's like, you know, like domino. Because I'm not being paid full wage, I'm not going to be able to pay the nanny full wage. So it's really like domino effects. So I understand that the people feel like it's hard. And I have to admit that we are not complaining, because I think we have a very good situation. The kids are okay. We have the big house, big garden, a possibility to work from home. So we're not working in the medical department. So we're not forced to work in the hospital next to the patients. But it is true that it might be a bit hard. And this is why I said that since we're both volunteering for the Red Cross, my husband and I, we decided to go once a week to help. So we have a team of medical care, medical care. And once a week we go there, so that it also, of course, helps, but it also helps us not to be closed. I don't want to get mad at my husband just because we live 24/7, which we're not used to do because we work normally. So it's really a matter of us to get a bit of fresh air and be useful as well. We've been volunteering for the Red Cross for 11 years, so we know what it is. We usually do that only once a month, but now it's once a week because, well, jobs are allowing that because we're not really working at the time. But it's really important for our friends, but also important for us, because I think that everybody needs to be out, needs to be aware of their kids, aware of their partner, not because they don't love them, but it's just like it's a lot.
Yeah, 100%.
So yeah, so they usually joke about the fact that there's going to be a very big baby boom in 9 months, but there's also, like we've seen in China, a very big risk of having a divorce increase once the lockdown is out. So it's really, yeah, it's really important for the people to have a bit time for themselves. And this is why I suppose that the people are not really strict about that, because they don't feel like it's okay for them to stay locked in with their spouse or the kids or whatever, or by themselves if they're alone. So it's, yeah, it's a bit hard to balance what's really feasible or what we can endure or what we cannot do. It's really hard.
Oh yeah, 100%. And I mean, I am in a fortunate position that I work from home a lot, but yeah, like you said, my husband's going to be here too. So we have to navigate that. But I think my feeling is like the quicker we do it, like we've seen
of course,
places, the quicker we do it and we have this period of difficulty and this period of tough time, then we can move on. But the longer that we do it in pieces, it could be months. You know, it could be weeks and it could be months. I think New Zealand's going to be the leader. New Zealand has done lockdown from today. I talked to a friend. I haven't figured out, I'm still figuring out what I'm going to do with these. I really want to make a podcast, but it might be that I'd use Vimeo for now, I think, because the videos are longer than I thought they would be. And I think a link is better. If you're comfortable with me sharing it, I think it's
okay.
Yeah, I think it's really good. I talked to someone in Melbourne yesterday. I talked to someone in Sydney. I just would love to hear how other people are dealing with it, and not the news, not the media, like real conversation.
Yeah, like real life.
And obviously your situation is different to my situation, but even somebody three streets away is different to me. Like same with you, people in the other side of Paris, like you said, have smaller apartments, so they might be struggling more than you. Some people like my husband will have to go to work. He has to go to work because he takes care of the animals.
Oh yeah, but the aquarium is closed by itself.
Yeah, so the park is closed, but you know, the sharks, the stingrays need food.
They have to be fed.
So he is going to work, and I think that's, I guess, I understand the government's having trouble with that, saying what's essential and what's not. I mean, I think it's at this point, it's life and death. Who deals with life and death? That's medical and animals, basic care. And they've been cut massively. He's not going every day normal. Like he's having 4 shifts instead of 10, you know, in a fortnight. So they cut the team really a lot. And then
food industry,
yeah, supermarket, you know. But in other places like New York, they've already, and China, you know, the way they're running the supermarkets has changed. And I was working in the supermarket, and people are starting to get really anxious and stressed because they're worried for themselves. They're worried as well. Yeah. I might get sick now. I might
because you were in COVID. Yeah,
yeah. So they're starting to feel like that. And so the stress is rising since Sunday. The before they were stressed because like everybody was buying too much stuff. We had like a week where it feels like they were able to catch up. People started to slow down, but now it's slowing down so much. And I think their anxiety is rising because they're realizing like, yeah, I don't want to be sick. I don't want to make my family sick. But then we can't come to work. Then who works in the supermarket? You know, like you said, domino effect. Mm-hmm. So they're trying every day. They're talking every day, trying to figure out solutions. And maybe that we do bring in that delivery system or pickup system quicker than going to lockdown and then bringing it in. I don't know
how it's going to be played out, but I'm sure that there's going to be some changes in the coming days or weeks, that things are going to evolve in one way or another. But definitely that there's still a lot of people that are on the line, not just the medical staff. But we have a thing going on in France, which is like 8 p.m. every night. Everybody is out on their balcony, in their garden, and clapping. I don't know whether that we are the only country doing that, but it's 8 p.m. for just like 2 minutes. Everybody's clapping and cheering. It was just for the medical staff. Now it's for everybody working in an industry that is putting not their lives at risk, but being exposed to the virus, exposed to other people. And it's really something that everybody's doing that in the home. Even us, that we're living lots of houses, so it's not an apartment complex, it's different. We can hear the neighbors doing that as well. So it's really nice to do that. It's not helping, but it's just showing a bit of we are in this together. That's good. That's good as well.
Yeah, I think people are literally doing that. And I watched it for like 20 seconds and then I was crying. Like, we're probably a bit too far away to do it. I mean, we could do it in my apartment, but in Australia it would be like 5 kilometres away. It'd be like, nobody. So maybe we'll have lunch or so. I don't know. Then will we have a big war memorial? Like, you have Bastille Day. We have, maybe that's a different day. I don't know. We have Remembrance Day.
We do have 2 days, which is 1st of May and 11th of November for the First World War and Second World War. So 1st of May is coming in, soon. So we might still be in lockdown for that scene. But other than that, we don't really know. Yeah, well, this is just like what we do on a daily basis. I'm sure there's going to be lots of things afterwards. But the government is really criticized in France for the way they're handling things. I don't know if it's because they've taken that things too far, or on the other side, too late, or what's really... that's my view, but I don't want to be following the news. So because, I mean, what am I going to see more than just stay home and that's it, which we're doing as much as we can. So what's news? What's important? There's no point in going to see what's going on because, you're not going to be able to do anything. So I'm not following the news, but I know there's a lot of criticism going on. And it's really hard to know that people are not really supportive of each other in that moment. But that's just, the way French people are. They like to complain. They like to strike. They like to anything. So, yeah, that's
no, we're the same. But, you know, we have... coming up the Anzac Day, which is our 25th of April.
Yeah.
But like you're saying with the clapping thing, I think they're trying to figure out something because they called that off pretty quickly because it's a huge mass gathering with very old veterans coming. It's held all over like every like sort of major hub town. So we're near a big hub town. They have one. So they can't have any of them. So I think they're talking about something like you stand at the end of your driveway or you stand on your balcony and we'll have like the minute silence or I don't know. I've got to look it up, but I think that's nice. I think that's nice if we can honor them in some way. And, you know, realistically, even if we're not on lockdown, I think we'll still be on physical distancing. We're calling it, I don't know about you, we're calling it
physical distance.
Yeah, we said social distancing and that's still the technical term, but I think it's so... it's, you know, physical distancing, but socially connected. Like we are connected. Okay. So that's what we're trying to say now. We're like, and it's called self-isolation. So we're like, don't think of being isolated. Yes, we have to be distant. Like, I mean, you and I are in France and Australia. We're always distant, but we have connected.
So still. Yeah.
Let's think of it like that. And that helps at least your mind a little bit.
Yeah, I understand. Okay, cool.
It is so good to see you.
If you need anything else from me, we can still have another call, or if you want me that I write a few lines. Once you find the best way to do what you want to do, just let me know. I'll be glad to help because I know it's useful as well to have not news but other people trying to see what's going on. So I'll try to make sure that that I help. And yes, and you can use the video if you want, no problem.
I think I'll put it on YouTube for now, like while I'm figuring it out. My podcast is a longer term project, but who knows? I have 2 weeks at least inside, so maybe next
lots
week
of time.
My podcast will be live. But I am very grateful. I think I want to try and do like this week as many interviews as possible, and like I'll mark the date. So like in 1 month's time, I think it would be great. Yeah. And then I think we'll see how it goes, but then at least 6 months.
Okay, cool.
Dates
in the that calendar. Would be the evolution, yeah.
Like a time capsule, and, you know, so to see what we said today, yeah, it would be very, I think this is like a really cool experiment. And if I could get like even 10 countries or 10 cities, like I think it'd be really interesting. So
I'm sure you'll get there very easily. With all your big network, it will be easy.
And that's why the idea came, you know, because like I had people from like Pedro from Spain, my friend from Germany, like my friend from India, all in one day being like, Emma, what's happening there? Because this is what's happening here. And they wanted to know and they wanted to tell me. And I was like, well, maybe other people don't have access to people in France, Germany, yeah. Spain, India. I'm in a very fortunate position to have direct contact. So I'm going to use that.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let me know if I can be of any help. Good luck. Good luck for that, but also good luck for the self-isolation. And enjoy the time to rest as well.
Thank you. Merci. Gracias. Cuídate. And we'll talk to you.
Cuídate to you. Bye, Emma.
Bye.
Thanks for listening, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. Already looking forward to the next one. We also have a rather extensive back catalogue for you to check out. But in the meantime, you can follow us on Instagram. That's at Lovely Travels on Instagram.
Or you can come and check us out on Facebook, Lovely Travels. That's LOVELLY. Or we would love for you to join our Facebook community with more than 500 members talking all things travel and adventure. That's the Lovely Travels community.
You can also visit our website, which is lovelytravels.com.
Or shoot us an email. We love hearing from our listeners. So please send us an email, feedback, comments, questions, whatever. info@lovelytravels.com.
And you can listen, review, subscribe, like, share, and promote our podcast in any shape, way, or form. We are on Spotify, iTunes, the internet, Google Podcasts. Everywhere where you get podcasts, you will find us.
All good podcasting locations. So tune in next time, guys. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you then.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.